Carlisle knock me over with a feather? Sony's made a profit?
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Entertainment and electronics giant Sony of Japan has managed to make money, not lose it, for the first time in 5 years, a net profit of $948 million. BBC Tokyo correspondent Rupert Wingfield Hayes is here. Rupert, why has Sony struggled for so long?
A couple of reasons, David. One is that it's continued to try and compete in the TV market, which, you know, was its biggest thing, Sony TVs. But that has become ferociously competitive with the South Koreans like the Samsungs, LG, now Chinese players coming along. It's just really, really difficult to make money out of making televisions. And the other thing is they just completely misjudged the rise of the smartphone and tablet market, which, of course, is dominated by Apple and by Samsung. And Sony just didn't come out with good enough products early on to compete in that market.
But now a new era, a profit of nearly $1 billion for Sony. You'd think that would be they figured out the TV problem, they're selling laptop computers, and maybe attracting people to their successful movies?
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? But actually, if you look at the underlying figures of where they made money last year, primarily, they made money because they sold a couple of very big buildings, including their corporate headquarters in New York, which they sold for $1 billion. And what does Sony really make money out of these days? Selling life insurance to Japanese people.
Life insurance to retirees in Japan.
That is its biggest money earner here in Japan. It uses its very well-known and valuable brand name to sell things that have nothing to do with electronics.
The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes in Tokyo. Rupert, thank you.
Thank you, David.
The Senate Judiciary Committee today starts looking at amendments to the big immigration bill. Among the 844 pages are two bits that could complicate the goal of citizenship for many poor immigrants. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
Under the bill, undocumented immigrants would be given provisional status. Later, they'd have to prove that their family income stayed above 125% of the poverty level, or they could show they didn't go more than 60 consecutive days without a job. Otherwise, they could be deported. Angela Kelly says the proposed rules are too strict. She heads immigration policy at the left-leaning Center for American Progress.
That is just simply creating quasi-documented people who will never fully be able to integrate.
Kelly wants some flexibility. So if you're unemployed for, say, 61 days straight, you keep your status if you have a good explanation. Doris Meisner led the U.S. Immigration and Naturalization Service under President Clinton. She's now with the nonpartisan Migration Policy Institute. Meisner says the rules should be more flexible, but still make people work for citizenship.
People earn their way over time into a legal status in the country.
Meisner says the rules will satisfy critics who don't want to create new citizens who rely too much on government help. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. Asian markets were sharply down overnight. The Nikkei in Japan had a fine 6 months, but it fell 0.2% today. London's FTSE right now is up just a tad, about 2 points.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Those massive advertising budgets that consumer brands still dedicate to TV are now up for grabs. TV networks next week come out with their fall shows. But as more people tune in online, many marketers are finding that ads alone aren't enough, Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith reports.
This summer, there will be an online music documentary about indie bands Wildcat and Passion Pit. The documentary will incorporate tweets and other social media messages posted during the band's performances at the South by Southwest Music Festival.
Check, check, check.
In addition to being fans of our brand, they also love sports, music, and pop culture.
That's Juliette Corsanita. She works for the movie's producer, Taco Bell. That's right. Taco Bell is producing movies now.
There's a sea change underway.
John McCarris is with new media advertising agency Digitas. He says these days, brands have to create content because there are so many digital places they need to be. Facebook, Twitter, Vine, YouTube.
Many brands have started to wake up and realize that they have nothing to feed them. And it's a bit like throwing a dinner party without a menu.
In other words, brands can't just attach an ad to a TV show or a website. They have to create their own content. YouTube videos, Facebook promotions, behind-the-scenes photos on Instagram. That's a big job and a big opportunity, says William Ward, social media professor at Syracuse University.
Now we've got the technology and channels that allow them to go directly to the customers.
Ward says if companies get it right, the payoff can be huge.
One of the top viewed videos from last year was the Red Bull outer space jump.
8 million people watched the record-breaking freefall live on Red Bull's YouTube channel. Taco Bell also has a YouTube channel, which it feeds all the time, but especially for big events. When it launched its Doritos Locos Taco, Taco Bell posted dozens of short videos on its YouTube channel. Taco Bell's Amy Cavanaugh.
We created more content in 4 weeks than we had in all of 2012.
Many of the videos involved consumers. Taco Bell tracked down Twitter followers like this one. And gave him and a bus full of his friends free Doritos Locos Tacos.
I would like Mary Taco Bell.
More than 500,000 people have watched that video. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And I'm thinking you know exactly what leaking gas smells like, but many natural gas utilities worry that we need a primer. To that end, Energy West in Montana sends customers scratch and sniff cards. The Great Falls Tribune reports that when workers put some boxes of expired cards into a garbage truck, the resulting crush raised an unholy stench, then fears of a gas leak, then the evacuation of buildings. Now you can try this at home. Leave an egg out for 3 weeks, crack, and sniff. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.